Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I am Andrew Kahn.
I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
The Michigan football team is back home on Saturday with a 6-0 record and ready to face Indiana. We discuss Michigan's incredible first half to the regular season and preview the matchup with the Hoosiers. Plus, we've got some hoops to talk on the heels of Big Ten basketball media days. That and more coming up on Wolverine Confidential. All right, guys, good to be with you here Thursday morning, October 12th. I missed the last podcast because I was at the aforementioned Big Ten basketball media days in Minneapolis, but I did listen, thought it was excellent. Excellent podcast, maybe the best of the season.
Oh, come on now. I don't know about that. What do you think, Aaron?
I honestly don't remember. We were coming off of a night game. I was in a fog. I honestly don't remember recording it.
You blacked out, and it was just good stuff all around. I promise. Okay, well, yeah, Michigan is 6-0, so we are at the halfway point of the regular season, at least. Michigan hopes it has, you know, a few more games after that. But yeah, I don't know. We knew the schedule was light early, like before the season. That's something we talked about often. They haven't faced a top 40 team yet, really, you know, if you look at just the computer rankings. But still, on a game-by-game, possession-by-possession basis, to me, they've exceeded expectations still. What do you guys say?
You can make that case. I mean, they've had really good spurts here. I mean, even those first few games where, like, folks weren't necessarily, you know, pleased that they didn't necessarily blow these teams out. You've also got to factor in, like, they were playing the backups the final, you know, quarter and a half. I can remember, like, especially that first game this year, like, all their scoring was done virtually in, like, 2.5 quarters of the football. So I guess from a efficient production standpoint, yes, they've done very well. I mean, they've probably exceeded expectations. It's just hard to gauge, right, when you're going against teams where, you know, look, Michigan's strength of schedule is hovering around 100, depending on which, you know, which place you're looking at. Like, the opponents have not been very good. So it's hard to take what they've done and apply it like a macro level against, you know, an average team, because they haven't really faced any. So that's where these final, you know, the final four games of the season, or three games, gonna come into play. Indiana this week notwithstanding. I don't know. They have gotten better, I will say, just in the eye test. And I think right now that's kind of what we're going off of, right? Like, how do they look? Are they dominating, you know, teams they should be dominating? And the answer at least the last 3 weeks has been yes. And the question now becomes, you know, where do they go from here, and can they keep it going?
Yeah, no, I would agree too. And I think, like, the consensus in the last few games has shifted a little bit. And I think now they're a legitimate national, viewed as a national title contender. I mean, they kind of were before the season, but I mean, yeah, like you said, they've been dominant on both sides of the ball. But even in the first few games against the non-conference opponents, like, they won big, but they didn't cover in any of the games. And there was a couple instances where it's like, maybe some question marks, like the Bowling Green game. Like, I mean, the offense kind of sputtered throughout the game. JJ didn't have a good game. And defensively, like, yeah, they faced a third-string quarterback for the entire second half. But, like, in the first half, they allowed a couple big passing plays. So it's like, all right, hard to really gauge off that. But, I mean, to go into Minnesota and Nebraska and – absolutely thump them like they did. It's still pretty impressive, despite both those teams being quite mediocre.
Yeah, I hear what you get. The point spread often is a good indicator, I guess, of like how a team compares to expectations, because that was like, all right, that's what they're expected to win by to a certain extent. But I don't know. Like, I feel like, you know, the odds makers were still adjusting to the clock and, you know, how many possessions were in games. Michigan was just not really running up the score. I mean, you're going to get punished maybe as far as covering a point spread based on, you know, how well you play for the four quarters. But, like, I'm not going to punish a team because their third and fourth stringers aren't necessarily, you know, scoring touchdowns at the same rate as the starters and the, you know, the second unit. So I don't know. I still thought it was pretty impressive, of course, what they've done. And you know, I think another huge thing is how healthy they've been. I mean, they have avoided, you know, major injuries for the most part. You know, they missed Mason Graham for a couple of games. He comes back, and as you guys discussed, was like, looked almost better than ever with possibly the largest wrap I've ever seen on someone's hand. I mean, they must have just kept going with that thing.
5 minutes. I asked him this week. It takes him 5 minutes to wrap up for a game.
Yeah, I believe it. That thing was enormous. But yeah, it didn't seem to stop him at all. So yeah, a lot of good. And yeah, I've got a story up on mlive.com/Wolverines right now about, you know, some of the stats. And one I was I borrowed from Zook, who dropped it on the last episode of Wolverine Confidential, which is that, you know, when the other team throws the ball, so far it's resulted in a Michigan touchdown more often than it's resulted in a touchdown for the team throwing the pass, which is pretty incredible. Three pick sixes so far, only two passing touchdowns allowed. And there's a lot more good that stands out, you know, from Michigan so far through their 6-0 start.
After the game on Saturday, I was looking through the numbers, and Andrew, you obviously have a piece on all the stats and everything else, but when you look at like Michigan having played six compared to teams who have played six games this year, not five, not, you know, not seven, six, the same number, same data point and everything else. I mean, they're up there in almost everything, especially the defensive side of the ball. Number one in scoring defense, number one in passing defense, number one in total defense. Even offensively, they're number 10th in the country in scoring. So they're still putting up points, and their defense is lights out, as you said. So comparatively speaking, they're doing a very good job. I mean, you pointed the Bowling Green game, for example, where JJ threw three picks. They still won that game by 25 points, and it never really seemed out of reach. So, like, even when they are – "quote unquote" struggling, you never get the chance. You never get the idea that there's a chance they're going to lose the game. So, and I think that speaks to just, you know, the players on this team, and as you alluded to just a minute ago, the depth of players that they have.
And speaking of impressive stats, I mean, a big narrative this week at availability was the third quarter play of Michigan, and they've outscored teams 76-0 in the third quarter this year, which kind of speaks to the halftime adjustments and what they've been able to do. And I know head coach Jim Harbaugh talked about it a little bit, defensive line coach Mike Elston, but and then me and Aaron talked about it leaving availability on Wednesday. It's like, I wonder if – well, they've also deferred to the second half a lot and have gotten the ball to start the second half. And I went back and looked. Yeah, they had two long drives of beating third quarters and that resulted in points. But in three of those games, they went three and out, and the defense was right back on the field. And so they still haven't been able – still haven't given up points in the third. Obviously, Nebraska, I think, was the team that won the toss and got the ball to start the second half too. So yeah, I mean, it's been quite impressive that, yeah, maybe they showed some cracks in the first half, but they've been able to lock things down in the third quarter with their starters still in the game. And of course, like we said, there's been a lot of backups in the fourth quarter when opponents have kind of gotten some late touchdowns to spoil shutouts or get a few more points on the board.
Good coordinators can kind of recognize what other teams are doing and when given some time, adjust appropriately. And Jesse Minter, the last couple of years, has done a fantastic job. Mike McDonald did the same thing before him. And even, you know, Don Brown had his moments too, where they were a very good second half defense. And that's kind of carried over. That's really been kind of the identity of the Michigan defense, pretty much to the Jim Harbaugh era. You know, even when games are close at halftime, Michigan's able to clamp down defensively in the second half. And as Zook noted, that third quarter has certainly been a difference maker. And been certainly, you know, the reason why they've been able to pull away in a lot of these games lately.
Yeah, they've played 360 minutes of football this season. They've trailed for 8 minutes and 4 seconds, which is right after Rutgers scored a touchdown, you know, on the third snap of the game. Michigan trailed for the next 8 minutes before tying the game late in the first quarter, and have never trailed later than that in a game all season. That they're the only team in the country that has not ever been behind in the second, third, or fourth quarter of games. And, you know, that includes Georgia, number one ranked team, and, you know, in the AP poll. That includes, you know, Oregon and Oklahoma, you know, the only two teams that have a slightly higher scoring margin, average margin of victory than Michigan does. They've trailed in the fourth quarter of games this season. So, like, you know, like Aaron said, it's just been on cruise control, you know, for the second half of these games. And yeah, just so impressive how they've thoroughly dominated teams this year. We had some predictions about how this would go, you know, before the season. And if we want to check back in on them right now, they're going pretty well so far. We said you know, we were certainly right about Blake Corum getting more touches than Donovan Edwards. It's probably maybe even been a little more lopsided than we thought. But you know, we've kind of, you guys hit on Donovan Edwards at length in the last podcast. So I don't know if that one's been, you know, surprising or what, but we are right so far at the midway point of the year.
Yeah, I think maybe a second half prediction needs to be who will have more touches, Kalel Mullings or Donovan Edwards for the second half.
Yeah, I was just going to say Donovan's touches have certainly been a product of his just lack of production, at least in the run game, right? Like he just hasn't been able to get it going, at least not yet. I do think it's going to come at some point. I mean, assuming he's healthy and everything else, it's got to happen. But yeah, Kalel has certainly come on. He's certainly pushing for that number two spot. And really, he's, you know, when you compare him to Donovan, he's at least got a role carved out for him, right? He's the third down short yardage back. Michigan's made no bones about giving him the football the last couple of weeks, and he's answered the bell. So very much so, running back is a productivity job. Like, if you get the job done, you're going to get the football, and that's certainly the case here in Michigan. So I think you're going to see Kalel continue to, at least for now, get carries.
You know, we talked about, we predicted who would be the leader in sacks. Right now it is Josiah Stewart with three, but it's pretty bunched up. You got Derek Moore at two. You got a few players, including Jalen Harrell at 1.5. My guy, Chris Jenkins.
Isn't he at 2.5, Harrell?
I don't know. I'm looking on ESPN right now. It's at 1.5, but maybe Michigan could have a slightly different number, but
Michigan stats has them at 2.5. But
okay, all right. Well, there you go. I don't want to short him.
Now you got to be careful what stats you're looking at, because I've looked at multiple outlets. They're all different, like college football stats. Michigan's got different. You said ESPN. I you know, from an official standpoint, I think we should probably go off of what Michigan has. But even sometimes I've noticed the Big Ten and Michigan will differentiate on stuff.
Yeah, no, we'll defer to them. Yeah, Zook had Derek Moore and Aaron had Harrell. So yeah, they're both you know, both up there. Neither are Michigan sacks in general. Again, you guys had a story about this, not you know, as high as maybe they'd like, but again, that's a product of kind of how the other team is playing. But yeah, you know, again, they're 6-0, and we've talked about this backloaded schedule. It doesn't seem like this will necessarily, they'll be challenged again this week. Saturday, 12:10 p.m. Eastern time is kickoff when Indiana comes to the Big House. The Hoosiers are 2-4. They beat Indiana State, an FCS team, and Akron, one of the worst FBS teams in the country. And then their losses were to Ohio State, Maryland, and Louisville. And that one, the Louisville game, is pretty close. Like, those are respectable losses, but obviously Michigan is much closer and even better than those teams. You know, so it's hard to say. Michigan has won 26 of the last 27 with Indiana, 41 of the last 43. Their last loss at home was in 1967. Like, doesn't seem like all signs point towards a lopsided game on Saturday.
Yeah, and the aforementioned odds makers have Michigan as of now, I think it was 33.5-point favorites, which I had to go back and look, and the next biggest spread, at least for a Big Ten game involving Michigan, was in 2018 against Rutgers. So it's been a long time since Michigan's been this big of a favorite, betting favorite in a Big Ten game. So odds makers are certainly expecting another blowout, like just like Minnesota and like Nebraska. Very possible. I mean, this Indiana team is struggling. They're coming off a bye. And they did make a change at the offensive coordinator. They dismissed Walt Bell. They brought in Rod Carey. Yes, former head coach at Northern Illinois and Temple. His name escaped me. So it's going to be curious to see how different the Indiana offense is going to look. They have had, like I said, they have had 2 weeks to adjust. But typically bye weeks are reserved for players to get healthy, and there isn't a ton of practice, a lot going on. So realistically speaking, you're probably looking at 10 days to implement any changes he wants to do. So nonetheless, this Indiana team, just like Minnesota last week, doesn't do a whole lot of great things. I think Jim Harbaugh spoke volumes this week when he was asked about Indiana. The only real complimentary thing he had to say was Jalen Lucas and the kick returning game. So I don't see an avenue here where Indiana can keep up. I mean, they like to play Michigan style of ball. They're going to try and hold the football, long possessions, long drives. So I don't expect them to score many points. I think Michigan's going to run away with this one pretty quickly.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to keep Taven Jackson at quarterback. I mean, who was actually a top 200 recruit out of high school, and originally committed to Tennessee. So, I mean, it's you would think that the talent's there, but yeah, I mean, he has not played well and has been replaced in a couple games by the backup. But I mean, Tom Allen said this week that they're going to stick with Jackson. And I mean, I don't know how much will change with the new OC. It's going to be a tall task against a Michigan defense, like we discussed, has been pretty dominant this season. So, yeah, it could get ugly, like we said, pretty early for the Hoosiers. And I expect but 33.5 is a big number, like Aaron said. That is in Big Ten play. Oof.
Yeah, no, it is. But again, we guess we sort of understand it. All right. What else came out of availability this week that was interesting? I mean, certainly the story that caught my eye was, the Jim Harbaugh contract situation.
Yeah, there have been rumors, I guess, bubbling for the last couple of weeks that Jim may be soon getting a contract extension. I haven't been able to verify that or confirm that. Now, that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. I mean, we've been talking about a Jim Harbaugh extension now, it almost seems like on a yearly basis. He has been successful. Michigan's obviously coming off back-to-back Big Ten titles and playoff appearances. And perhaps most notably, he's in the second year of his current five-year deal. So once the season ends, he'll be working on 3 years left, which ideally, and we've talked about this in the past, coaches like working on, minimum four-year deals just from the cushion of recruiting and everything else. And look, if you're Jim Harbaugh, I think you would want to be paid more, right? You want an extension. You want to know that Michigan believes in what you're doing. And that's kind of what Jim was asked about on Monday. He was asked if he felt like he was, if he felt wanted here. He did say yes. Now, he said that in the past, too. I can remember asking him that back in February as the NFL rumors were bubbling up. So, I don't know if it's actually going to stop, what Jim wants to do. But I do think an extension offered by Michigan would probably be the right thing at this point. Now, the one variable here, and we've talked about this too, the ongoing NCAA investigation. I was told that, months ago that Michigan was going to wait until that concluded before they offered Jim Harbaugh any type of extension. Now, I don't know if that thinking has changed. And it is important to obviously point out here that he did serve a school-imposed three-game suspension. So I wonder if that plays into it too. But, Jim did indicate that he wants an extension. I don't think you, as if you're a head coach intending on being here, I don't think you would say otherwise. But clearly, there continues to be some issues behind the scenes between him and the administration. We'll see where things go. But I got to think we may get some clarity on this situation, relatively soon.
I'll play sort of, if not devil's advocate, just the kind of naive side of this and say, okay, he's in the second year of a five-year deal, right? Is that right? So he's got three more years after this, even if they do nothing. It's not like he's in, this kind of limbo, lame duck status potentially if they don't do anything. If he wants to leave for the NFL, he's probably going to anyway, right? Would money be the factor there? Those guys are paid, a little bit better, but kind of the top coaches in college football are around the same as, many of the NFL head coaches anyway, from my understanding. So, why from Michigan's side is it so important that they do something?
No, it's a good question. And I don't think Michigan necessarily feels like they need to, right? Like and we've seen that the last couple of contract extensions with Jim. I mean, I can remember a few years back where he was rolling in, I think he had 2 years left or 1 year left on his deal. So like Michigan, Ward Emanuel have shown that they're never in a hurry here to re-sign Jim. There have been reports of numbers thrown out there, potential dollar figures he may get. I got to think if you're Jim, you probably want to be one of the highest paid Big Ten coaches, maybe if not the highest paid. That would put you over close to $11 million a year because Ryan Day, he did get an extension recently himself. So I just think from an ego standpoint, from a cushion standpoint, I think if you're Jim, you want it. If Michigan, I feel like they necessarily don't need to give it to him right now. But I will say the one thing lingering right now with the current contract he's in is the buyout is relatively low. Currently, if Jim were to leave the NFL after the season, he'd only owe Michigan something like $2 million, which isn't very much at all. So if you are able to lock Jim into a new contract, new extension, theoretically speaking, at least that buyout could rise and you'd be able to recoup some of the money you'd be paying him. So it's a good question. It's one that I don't know if Michigan necessarily thinks they need to be in a hurry about this. But at the same token, you've got the fan base and donors, too, wanting one, right? There's been no pushback with Jim at this point. He is the guy. Fans are happy with what this Michigan program has done. So you, in a way, you've almost got the pitchforks coming out too from the fan base asking the administration, why aren't you re-signing this guy? He's winning.
Yeah, I mean, that's a key word there is winning. But like to me, like I think the biggest variable is still that NCAA investigation. If they give him, if they make him the highest paid head coach in the Big Ten and one of the most in college football, and the NCAA turns around next year and slaps him with another suspension, I mean, it's just not good optics for Michigan or the program or anything like that too. So I understand that's how college football is, and you like, and these coaches like that security of having 4 or 5 years on their contract. But it's like Andrew said, man, he's still got 3 more years left on his deal too. It's like, what's the rush? I mean, yeah, like win again this year, and maybe even get a bigger deal after the season. But again, as we've learned as we learned, the NFL has always seemed to be popping up around December and January.
As we said, there's basketball to talk about as well. Since you know, I just got back from Minneapolis, where the Big Ten Media Days were held, the women and the men. And yeah, I guess the biggest things to report are, you know, Juwan Howard is, you know, was not there as he continues to recover from, you know, the heart surgery he had in mid September. But they say he's doing well. He's in good spirits. He's, you know, doing his rehab like he's supposed to. But he has, you know, not been with the program, and you know the coaches have been on kind of strict orders not to, you know, bother him during that time, and you know, discuss business, if you will. And he has stayed away. So there's no timetable exactly for when he will come back. You know, the timetable they laid out at the time when they announced his successful surgery, you know, made it somewhat tight to get back. I mean, it was a window that, you know, if it was at the early end of it, he'd be back in time for the, you know, the first game. If he was on the later side, he might not. So, you know, we'll just, that'll be kind of a day by day, week by week thing. You know, as far as his status, but, you know, a positive report, on Juwan. You know, the Michigan men picked 11th in the unofficial Big Ten media poll. The Big Ten doesn't actually conduct one themselves, so you know, some writers take it upon themselves to do one. And yeah, they were 11th, which isn't a huge surprise given, you know, how last season went and who they lost. But you know, I can remind folks that Northwestern was picked 13th last year and ended up second. It's a huge there was a lot of parity in the Big Ten last year, a bunching of teams. You know, below Purdue at the top. So a similar thing could happen again this year. But Michigan will try to avoid missing the NCAA tournament for the second straight year. And they'll do it with, you know, with some grad transfers playing key roles. Two of them were represented at Media Day, Olivier Kamwa from Tennessee and Amari Burnett from Alabama. Trey Jackson's the other one from Seton Hall. Yeah, they'll all play big roles for Michigan this year. And it's kind of a similar side, similar thing for the women. They were picked a little bit higher. The Big Ten does conduct a poll. They had, you know, they had me. I was one of the voters. They had me rank all 14 teams, but then they only released the top five. It's kind of strange. The coaches poll, Michigan was not in the top five. The media, they were. I would say, I will tell you, I had them a little bit lower than that. I didn't have them in my top five, but we'll see. You know, the top four teams there with Indiana, Iowa, Ohio State, and Maryland, whatever order you want to put them in, you know, from last year are probably going to be there again this year. And then there's maybe a little bit of a gap between the next tier of teams that Michigan's in that group. But again, they brought in three grad transfers as well that will play big roles for their teams, you know, and Lauren Hansen, Alyssa Brett, and Taylor Williams. So, yeah, they've got a lot of new faces as well with some of the returners, but also, you know, lost some key players, Leah Brown, you know, being the most notable, and Emily Kaiser as well. So yeah, a lot of new faces in the Michigan basketball program, men and women. And they'll have their media days coming up as well here in Ann Arbor. So kind of dive into those teams even more, but already some preview content on MLive.com/Wolverines.
I know preseason polls are kind of a crapshoot, but where would you have had the men's team?
Shoot, that's a good question. I mean, again, I wasn't asked to vote, so then I never did my full dive into these other teams. But that looked fair to me. you know, again, some of these teams that were, you know, close to them, you could make an argument about, you know, where you want to go with them, but there's just so many unknowns with Michigan, with, you know, who they brought in. And I think they could be potentially really good defensively, but certainly some questions, you know, as to how the offense will look and where the outside shooting will come from when they lost I think 77% or something of their 3-point shooting from last year. Saadi Washington was Michigan's representative in Minneapolis. And, you know, all he could say is, you know, they chart practice and the numbers are very good from the shooting, but that's the type of thing that's great, but we'll see how it goes in the games. That's really all that matters. Right. So, some questions there, but I certainly understand, why they're kind of picked near the bottom of the Big Ten. But you know, it just, such a small margin. I mean, they were Saadi Washington and players seem to have that 4-13 stat, you know, memorized, that they were reciting, as far as that's what they were in, you know, close games last year, games decided by 6 points or fewer, or, you know, went to overtime, because there's a couple overtime games that ended up more than 6 points, but you throw those in there too. 4-13 is not a good number. But you know, you can look at that on the positive side of that, is they were right there. You get a few more to go those your way and you're in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, as we know, it doesn't take much if you're in a power conference, kind of be in the top half and you'll probably get in. So, we'll have much more coverage of that as the season gets closer on MLive.com/Wolverines. But Michigan football, Saturday, 12:10 p.m. Eastern time kickoff. They're back home after a couple weeks on the road. That game is on Fox. I guess this season more than ever, important to note what station they're on. And we'll have continued coverage leading up to, during, and after that game on MLive.com/Wolverines. Thanks for listening.